Then he looks on to the future when there will come the Messiah. And he's identified for us here, I think, very clearly. It says, out of him. That is, out of who? Well, out of the one that is coming. The tense is future. And it means, from him shall come forth the corner. Now, this is the cornerstone. A cornerstone is put in a building where two walls meet at a 90-degree angle. And the square stone is put in there. I think this is a marvelous picture that's given here of Christ as the cornerstone. Because, you see, there is the wall of Judah and the wall of the 10 tribes. And the message is that he's going to be the cornerstone to unite them and bring them back together again. But that cornerstone has a wider meaning than that. It's actually a very wonderful picture that's given to us. Now, Isaiah, if you'll recall, had something to say about this. In Isaiah 28:16, I read, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Now, what a beautiful, wonderful picture that you have there. Now, this is the verse that Peter, in the first epistle, the second chapter, verse 6, he says, "Wherefore also," it's contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Isaiah said, haste. You're not getting in a hurry, not get confused. That is the thought there. And in these days, you see, what is the answer to the occult and the exorcist? Someone has said to me, "Well, you talked about the exorcist. Apparently, you don't think Christians ought to go to it." I don't think they ought to go see it. No. Now, that's my judgment. And, of course, I'm a square. That's understood. And I feel very comfortable being a square these days. And I don't think that Christians ought to tamper or monkey with this occult in any shape, form, or fashion today whatsoever. What should we do? Well, if you stay close to the Word of God, you're going to stay close to the person of Christ. Because now you see immediately after he talked about this weirdo stuff, this that's way out, not only in left field, but it's outside of the ballpark. It deals with the supernatural, but it's demonic. And I don't question today that there's not power in all of this false stuff. And I shouldn't say all of it. I think they estimate today that 80% to 90% of it is phony, and probably is. But how do you account for the other 10%? And that's where the problem is, and it's obviously demonic. Now, the Greeks in their day were a very intelligent people, and yet they made trips constantly to Delphi, and just the blowing of the leaves in that cave and the interpretation by the priest would put an army in the field. It would take a man off of the throne. It would change the course of history. And somebody says, well, the Greeks were an intelligent people. Why would they follow that superstition? Who told you that there was nothing to it and it's just a superstition? Well, I think the devil was having a heyday there in a holiday. He was directing the Greek Empire that way. And I personally don't like to hear that in Washington that there are so many of these fortune tellers and people that are dealing in the occult. I'm afraid that we're getting our leadership in the wrong direction today. Now, what should we do? Turn to the person of Christ. He's the cornerstone. He's a foundation that you can rest on. Now, verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Now, it's been my firm conviction that the people who go into cults are people who have heard the gospel, heard the word of God, and they've turned their back on it. You see, when they rejected the truth, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, God gave them up to believe a lie. And that is a principle that operates, I think, today. Now, the Lord Jesus himself made a very startling statement in the 21st of Matthew, verse 44, and he called himself a stone. He says, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall will grind him to powder. Now, Christ is a stone. Now, he can be a stepping stone or he can be a stumbling stone to you. You can either accept him and receive him. You can come as a sinner, fall upon him, trust him, rest upon him. You're broken. You'll no longer trust yourself. You'll trust him. Or he's going to become a stone that's going to fall on you and grind you to powder. In other words, he's going to be the judge. And Daniel mentioned that at the end of the Gentile world rule, there was a stone, he says, cut out without hands. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to smite this earth, every government, every one in rebellion against God. Now, he's that kind of a stone. And today, what is it that we need in this day when people are turning to the cults and the occult? What are we to do? We are to get closer to Christ. He's a foundation stone. He's a cornerstone. Let's rest on him. He's the one that can bring us together and the only one that can bring us together. Now, will you notice he's not only a cornerstone, and this is verse 4 now, chapter 10, out of him the nail. Now, that's an interesting one. The nail, of course, is a stake or a tent peg, or as a boy, we used to call them stobs. You put a stob in the ground. Well, he's a tent peg. You know, the wind blows across that desert. And Israel, to keep the tabernacle from taking off and going into outer space, they had to nail it down. They had tent pins. And those tent pins were driven deep into the desert sand in order to hold. Now, Christ is called a tent pin. And again, we find that that's used several times in the Word of God. We're told in Isaiah 22:22, and I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open, none shall shut. Shut, none shall open. He is the one today that's holding things down. We need to hold on to him today, or let him hold on to us. What a picture that we're given here. And then that peg was used in another way, that nail. It was a tent pin that was put down inside the tent. Another one was put down there, and it was one that they could hang everything on. Women could hang their jewelry. Men could hang their valuables on it in the tent in which they lived. Well, he's not only a tent pin that today holds us down, but he also is the one on which God has, if you please, he has put all of the glory, all of the wonder, all of that which is valuable. To gain him is to gain that which is more precious than anything that's in the world today. Now, he's not through here. Out of him, the battle bow. He's a battle bow. And that means that he is the one that's going to come to this earth, put down all unrighteousness. The armies of heaven are going to follow him. Out of him, the battle bow, and out of him, every oppressor together. He's going to put down every oppressor. All of these goats, these leaders today, false leaders, both religious and political. Now, verse 5, and they shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. Now, this period is going to be a dark period, but God is going to undertake for his people and enable them to go through it, because during that period, Christ will come. And when they reject him, of course, there's no more hope for them. And Titus is outside the gates of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., and down come the wall. The city is destroyed, and they're scattered throughout the world. Actually, there's a belief today of several very outstanding expositors. The nation Israel is not in that land permanently. And very frankly, I haven't come to a dogmatic position in that, but I'm not sure but what that's the accurate interpretation of the Word of God. They'll go out of that land again, and God will return them to the land. Now, when God returns them to the land, they won't have any trouble with the Arabs, and then they won't be putting them out of their land. They won't cause the spigot on the gasoline pump to be turned off. They are going to be brought there of the Lord and become a blessing to the world.